And a good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92 with registered dietitian and nutritionist Amber Boyens from IMI Nutrition here in Madison, Minnesota. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, pretty good. You're enjoying the weather?
Sure. We're enjoying our first e-learning day in our home today.
Yeah, I saw your post earlier with the questions and activities for e-learning. Kind
yes.
of interesting, huh?
I did 10 jumping jacks in every room of my house this morning.
I
so a good way to start the day.
I counted to 100.
Nice work.
Yeah, thank you. But anyway, hopefully we'll get through this and be nice weather here coming pretty soon for
yes.
Easter. I think a little bit warmer. So
hope so.
Yeah. We're going to talk about food safety today.
Yeah, specifically leftovers.
Okay, because there'll probably be a lot of those after Easter dining.
There often is, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a holiday where we tend to do a lot of brunch type
right.
things and then have leftovers, which is great.
And leave the meat and cheese trays out too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that.
You have a handful of food
yeah.
safety stories.
I do.
Which we might hit on a couple of those today.
Blueberry muffins.
Yeah, but you know, as I've gotten older, one of the things I've realized is that almost every home has an eater and a thrower when it comes to leftovers. That person who says, oh, I think that's still good. Let's just have it. And the other person who says, you can't eat that. It's been in there way too long. And I feel like these conversations happen a lot in our house. And even as I was leaving last week from Taco, we were having a conversation about it in the entry here. So I thought we could talk about from a strictly food safety, statistical, academic standpoint, what is safe when it comes to leftovers. Now, not everybody likes leftovers. There's a lot of people who just don't enjoy eating leftovers. But for those of us who do, it's a great way to save money. It's a great way to meal prep and a meal plan and to just have some extra food and not have to cook at every single meal. But we can't always tell when they've gone bad. So when bacteria is growing on food, sometimes it's a little more obvious than others. I mean, if it has a smell, if it has a weird texture,
kind of glowing a little bit,
if it's glowing, probably toss it. But often there aren't those changes when bacteria start to grow. So in general, once something has been cooked, ideally we eat it within 3 to 4 days. Now we tend to think, especially if it contains meat, we should have it within those 3 to 4 days. But even things like rice and pasta, if they sat on the stove a little bit too long, they very, very rapidly grow bacteria. One called Bacillus cereus is the most common bacteria that they grow. And when you put it in the fridge, the growth might stop, but it just gets reactivated again when we take it out and eat it as leftovers. And I could tell horror stories all day about one-off cases of foodborne illness. But it really depends on the person. Some people are going to eat something that's gone bad and maybe they'll have a little bit of a stomach ache or one round of diarrhea or something like that. And somebody else might eat it and end up in the hospital or worse. So best to just be on the safe side, especially if you are serving these leftovers to other people. Maybe be a little bit mindful of that 3 to 4 days. Now, one of the ones that I think tends to get ignored often is open packages of lunch meat. Open packages of lunch meat are only good for about 3 to 5 days after we've opened them. I would say many homes go beyond that unless you're eating it every single day. If you're a house of one or two people, it can be kind of difficult to go through an entire package of lunch meat in 3 days, right? So that's one that you're pretty aware of.
Invite the neighbors over for sandwiches.
There we go. And there are some things with it that might freeze okay, some things that don't freeze so well. That's going to be kind of preference. And we'll talk about freezer a little bit here in a moment. Fresh meat. So now we get some of our fresh meat that's kind of vacuum sealed. And that vacuum sealing gives you a little extra time. Meat is pretty important to pay attention to that date that's on the package. You can maybe go a day or so beyond it. But, you know, with fresh meat, be pretty mindful of the smell, the texture. If it's slimy, don't cook it. If it has a scent, don't cook it. Raw meat really should be pretty benign. It shouldn't have a smell. It shouldn't have a slime. Eggs. Now, we did an entire Taco Tuesday on eggs because some people believe that you should leave them on the counter. Some people say they need to be refrigerated. Eggs that you buy in the store that are already refrigerated need to stay refrigerated. They're usually good for about 3 to 5 weeks after you get them, which is kind of a long time. But this time of year, as we will have in our home, even though we can't eat the eggs, or my kids can't eat the eggs, hard-boiled eggs. Hard-boiled eggs are good for about 1 week if you keep them in the refrigerator. So if the Easter Bunny hides your eggs this weekend and they're lying all over, you can't keep those for a week and still eat them.
That's, better find them all right now.
That's right. Yeah, find them all and get them back in the fridge.
If you find one a week from now, don't eat it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Now, casseroles with eggs, those are still good for about 3 to 5 days. And quiche, you might even get 5 days out of. So if you're making one of those egg bakes this weekend, they're good for a good chunk of the week. Now, the nice thing about eggs, egg dishes, egg bakes, egg casseroles, any of that kind of stuff, is it freezes pretty well. So with any of these leftover type things, if you don't think you're going to be able to eat it in that 3 to 4 or 3 to 5 day range, toss it in the freezer. Those things are going to thaw and eat pretty well. Now, we talked about thawing around Thanksgiving time because that's probably one of our most common thawing times. We always want to thaw in the fridge. And again, I know that this is controversial in some situations. We don't want to thaw things on the counter because they're far more likely to start growing bacteria. We want to thaw them in the fridge. So the smaller the portion that you can keep in the freezer, the easier it's going to be to thaw things. Now you can, if you froze it in a larger portion, you can let it thaw enough to kind of break off or cut out a portion that you're going to eat. But best option is to freeze it in whatever you're going to want to thaw it in. Now, recooking those leftovers, if you just eat them cold, that's fine. Just keep them cold until you eat them.
I like
them.
A cold meatball sandwich.
You know, yeah. I like a lot of leftovers cold. I was talking to a couple of friends at a meeting last week. She was eating a cold steak and vegetable skewer. And there's a lot of leftovers that are great cold. I like a cold meatball sandwich, too. I think growing up, we would have cold meatloaf sandwiches,
right?
With ketchup and white bread.
Very good.
Is it the most nutritious thing in the world to have the ketchup and white bread with it? No, but is it delicious?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Throw a few veggies on the side of that, and it's not so bad. You've got great protein source from those meatballs. And that's another really common thing to eat around this time of year or with Easter are meatballs and meatloaves and things like that because they do work really well to cook for larger groups of people. Now, if you are cooking ahead of time, ideally, we don't reheat in a crock pot because it takes it so long to get up to that appropriate temperature that we just increase the risk of foodborne illness. So we'd want to reheat and then put it in the crock pot to keep it warm if we're trying to hold it for a longer period of time. Now, mold. You have some experience with mold.
Well, I ate some blueberry muffins one time.
That were not, in fact...
I said to my mother, boy, those blueberry muffins are pretty good. She says, we don't have any blueberry muffins. Upon further examination, that was they were moldy muffins.
They were moldy muffins.
But they were pretty tasty, and I didn't get sick, and I probably just got a little extra dose of penicillin.
That's right. Yeah. And again, a lot of people are going to be just fine when they have those little bits of mold. And there are certain kinds of food, like certain cheeses and things like that, that just are made with mold, right? There are molds that we eat. But it's a little more nuanced than that as far as what we should and shouldn't eat that's moldy. Anything cooked, any of our leftovers that have developed mold, straight in the trash.
Okay.
Don't eat those. Ideally, bread and baked goods we would also throw away. Now, of course, not everyone is going to get sick from it, but if you've got bread that's moldy, we really just shouldn't use it. Same thing with anything that's soft. If you think soft jams, jellies, yogurt, sour cream, cottage cheese, anything like that, there's going to be the portion that you see that has mold, but some of those mold spores are going to be growing deeper into it where you can't see. So anything soft like that, we just want to get rid of it. Hard cheese that has developed mold. So let's say you've got a block of cheddar cheese in your fridge and it's got a little chunk of mold on it. We just cut that off. Ideally, we cut about an inch away from it, and then the rest of that hard cheese is just fine. Same thing goes with fruits and vegetables. Our soft fruits and vegetables, think things that have a lot of liquid in them, like cucumbers and peaches and tomatoes. If those have mold, we should just get rid of it, because again, it's going to have mold growing throughout. If it's hard, though, like peppers or carrots or cabbage or any of those kinds of things, that type of food, we can go ahead, same thing, cut it off, and eat the rest of it. So big takeaway here is that sometimes it's obvious that a food has gone bad. Throw it away. Sometimes it's not obvious. And in those scenarios, if we were in a kitchen, if we were like an industrial kitchen or commercial kitchen, everything in the refrigerator would have to be labeled with what date it went in there. That's best option, because sometimes I know Kyle and I will stand in the kitchen and we'll be like, what night did we make this? And try to think back to see how long it's been in there. It's best option if you can put a piece of masking tape on there or use a dry erase marker or something that can kind of mark what day you ate it so you know what day to throw it away by.
Okay. Well, our house, you know, I'll look in there. I'll be looking for something to eat, and I'll pick out the luncheon meat or something, and I'll be looking at it and sniffing it, and your mother will say, if you don't think it's okay, just throw it out. Then I got my nose in the milk cart. You go, get your nose out of the milk cart. It's okay. So,
and
anyway,
it is a little tricky. I mean, and she's, well, some things, milk, you can tell if milk's gone bad pretty quickly once you take a drink. And that one drink probably isn't going to hurt you any. A whole cup of it, on the other hand, might not go so well. Yeah, so if you've got a cold, maybe just skip it.
Yeah.
But yes, we can't always smell if it's gone bad. She's right. When in doubt, toss it out.
Toss it out, right. All right. Well, if you want to talk to Amber about mold or any of that kind of stuff, it's always a lot of fun talking about gross things. I'm like,
I'll talk about any of this, yes.
Yeah, right. Where do we find you?
You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's I-M-U, nutrition.com, or on Facebook at IMU Nutrition. Call here to the radio station. Stop me at the grocery store. You can get in touch with me however.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you again next week, and see you at Easter.
Sounds great.
Enjoying fine dining.
That's right.
On no moldy food.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amber.